Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, a few things to discuss this week. First, I recently saw two off-Broadway shows. One is a playwright's Horizons, a rather dark piece about the perils of contemporary dating. The second was equally filled with venom. That one is off-Broadway, as in another state. It encompasses something else worth mentioning, the document that pretty much formed this country. And finally, this is the week when Broadway shows learn if they have a more secure future. Yep, it's Tony nomination time. So let's begin with the show currently on stage at Playwrights Horizons. Now, this is the latest effort by a triple threat, as in writer, actress, and famous daughter, Haley Pfeiffer. The 80-minute play is called The Pain of My Belligerence. It starts with a first date from hell, featuring a New Yorker writer named Cat, and a guy named, well, Guy. He's charming but overbearing. She's insecure and charmed, though she should know better. He's married with kids. She's unattached and lonely. He is full of bluster. "I'm good at reading people. You barely know me," she says. "That's what I like about you," he answers, also pointing out that she is especially hot when she looks like a victim. His words. Ugh. The second scene takes place 4 years later. Cat is apparently suffering from Lyme disease, and he's still married. They have rather violent sex. This show is not for the prudish, and she has pretty much given up the rest of her life. The final scene is unexpected, so I won't spoil what little surprise this production holds. Now, Haley Pfeiffer always writes from personal experience, almost all of it of the unpleasant variety, and we certainly feel her heartbreak, anger, and attempts at healing. So we are obligated to say she's brave for putting it all out there. Still, I wish it felt more believable, ironically, let alone more entertaining to sit through. Pfeiffer is fine in the role, essentially playing herself, though I got really tired of all that smiling. Hamish Linklater is excellent as the creepy stand-in for too many men in the lives of too many young women. By the way, there are also fleeting references to who is running and rerunning for president, so I think there's even an attempt here to make some comparisons between a toxic relationship and where the country is at. An admirable, if not so subtle, stretch. Even though another character later enters the action, The Pain of My Belligerence is essentially a two-hander. The biting banter is a battle of the sexes of sorts, especially in these confusing times for both men and women. Now, the other play I saw is an official two-hander that might be considered a battle of the races. It is called Niceties, a really poor title if I can be not so nice. The play actually was developed a few years back, but I caught it at the Geffen Playhouse in Los Angeles. And I would not be surprised if this one heads back east again, since it seems to grow more timely by the day. Playwright Eleanor Burgess was inspired by a controversial episode at Yale. She herself was an undergrad there. The play is a debate between a white history professor and an African-American student. It begins with the latter expecting to be applauded for her unusual twist on a term paper, but instead she hears the dreaded words, "I'm afraid you're in for a substantial rewrite." Almost 2 hours and an intermission later, the professor and pupil have entered very personal and professional turf. "I want this to be your problem," says the younger to the older character. "I hate seeing the world through your eyes." It's not pretty, and it's interesting to feel the audience's emotions and viewpoints shifting throughout. She's right. No, she's right. While the play is not perfect, the challenging performances by Lisa Baines and Jordan Boatman are excellent. There is some heavy thought-provoking talk here about what our country's founders meant in drafting the Constitution. While one hardly wants to call that document trendy these days, we should note that on Broadway, Heidi Schreck is performing What the Constitution Means to Me, her own memoir of talking about falling in love with the Constitution as a very young debater. And I see that a new play is coming in a few weeks to the Barrington Stage Company titled Hold These Truths. It also sounds intriguing and deals with an American during World War II who refuses to incarcerate Japanese Americans. And for 5 decades, he waged that battle. Why so much heady history in our current culture? Well, creators respond to a mood and a moment, so mixing my metaphors here, you do the math. Finally, the Tony nominations are being announced this week, so we can discuss them next week. There will be surprises and snubs, but for the record, I expect to see Bryan Cranston from Network, Jeff Daniels from To Kill a Mockingbird, Tracy Letts for All My Sons, Patty Considine from Ferryman, and Birdie Carvel from Inc. nominated in the Best Actor category, with the possibility of Adam Driver from Burn This replacing one of them. For Best Dramatic Actress, look for perennial favorites Laurie Metcalf, she's playing Hillary Clinton, and Glenda Jackson, who is taking on King Lear to lead that pack. Laura Connolly from The Ferryman won awards for the same role in London. Celia Keenan-Bolger is Scout in To Kill a Mockingbird, and she manages to quickly make us forget she is, in real life, over 40. Annette Bening from All My Sons or Kerry Washington from American Son may vie for the final slot. As for musicals, Hadestown and Tootsie are the originals to beat, Oklahoma and Kiss Me Kate the revivals. So, Jill, we'll see how I come out and, more important, how the hopefuls come out.
And what's the Tootsie story? What's the Tootsie role?
I will let you know next week. I am seeing it tomorrow. Getting very, very good response from everybody.
It is. Okay, because what I am just, as with the movie, it is amazing to me that it came out. Because there's such a spate of things that come out under the Tony wire.
Yeah.
It's
that was the last to come in. And it has to deal with all the, the Me Too stuff going on, and here you got a man. A woman.
For people who, yeah, but again, the humor aspect of it, at some point soon, people are going to have to, in my view, get a grip. And I am not talking, I'm not including, I say this often about gluten-free, okay?
Right.
What I'm about to say is not for people with celiac disease or diagnosed, but it's for people who think that you can intermittently do it, or it's some sort of diet, or because it's a protein. Sorry, some people's bodies do okay with it; some people's don't. Sounds like a digression, but not really, because.
Let's go back to gluttony. I've had enough gluten-free. Let's go back to good old gluttony.
How about some flour? If you can, if your body can process it. Now, again, for Me Too, this isn't for anyone who's been menaced by someone. And as we have said before, that is for court of law, not court of public opinion, or you sort it out. But now taking things that have the whole point of Tootsie, and I loved that movie, was that this guy was a clot as a guy.
Right, but, and he learns about and appreciates more what it's like to be a woman.
And if you will, this is almost too twee for me, but he discovers in this that he does and can be sensitive. It's not just reflecting from the woman. It's that in the movie when he says to Bill Murray, it's like, I'm just like, Dorothy's a better, his character's a better person than he is.
That's right. That's exactly right. And he evolves in his own way. And apparently they pull that off pretty well here without trying to be too contemporary.
Preachy.
I don't know. It's just getting very, very nice reviews. And clearly the leading man or a woman or a man, whatever you call it, is going to, I think he's going to be the Tony winner. But I'll see you tomorrow, and I'll talk about it.
And then there will be. And again, I'm just looking for some humor.
Yeah. Well, apparently it's very funny, as the movie was. And look at all these. God, half the plays that I just mentioned were movies. Network, To Kill a Mockingbird, Tootsie. I'm sure other ones, if I look back over the list. So, you know, that we know that that's happening. Beetlejuice just opened this week, and I think I'm going to skip that one. So, you know, we could use some original ideas, but I guess the best they can do is take an old idea and give it a new original twist.
Because of the assumption, if you will, and this is what's so frustrating, is that the people have to recognize it first.
Yeah.
And I will remind anyone who just falls splat into the people have to recognize it first camp that some 20 years ago, there is this woman trying to get a book published that she wrote pretty much with her kid in a, you know, a little carrier and in a coffee shop in Edinburgh. And her name was Jo Rowling. The book was Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. And it was turned down by 65 publishers, I believe, before one saw something in it. So,
And then the something that they saw is, again, you've got to be awake to it and you've got to be a little brave.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not suggesting that this is another digression and, you know, please excuse me. But yeah. I get about 7 emails a day from various people asking for money for a political candidate.
Mm-hmm.
So while I know how much it costs to put up a play or a musical, mm-hmm. I would think that some of the gazillions of dollars that are being thrown into the
one day. Yeah.
Might want to, you know, so how about something creative with how about contributing to something creative like that instead of the industrial machine of
campaign financing?
Yeah.
Well, how about shorter campaigns, you know, like they do in other countries? How about using some of this money to feed the homeless or, you know,
yeah,
teach our kids, you know, in better schools? I mean, that's definitely a whole other. Listen, I was watching Game of Thrones last night. I know when you said Harry Potter made me think of that. The money that must go into that production. And I like Ms. Rowling and Harry Potter, these guys sold the idea of Game of Thrones. They had never done anything even remotely like that. Now, that too is based on a famous book, so it wasn't their original idea. But still, the idea for HBO to spend that kind of money and gamble on two guys who really hadn't done anything like that. And the effects are, whether you like it or not, I'm not even a big fan, though I did watch it last night, but the expense that goes into that. But they'll make that money back, and that's fine. They're not going to, you know, put it into 12 different plays or 3 different schools, but whatever. But I'm glad there's still creative people who have the tenacity and the creativity to get in there and say, no, people keep rejecting it, but I know this is a good story, you know. So anyway, we'll see what happens, and we'll talk next week about Tootsie and the nominations.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.